At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. I thought that was the highlight of the night. I mean, just a defensive stop leading to an alley-oop dunk. The crowd went wild. It was so great to be back at the Stew last night for the start of the VCU men's basketball season. With us now on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline, the play-by-play voice of the Rams, Robbie Robinson. What's up, Robbie?
Adam, good to be on with you, man. Day after the first VCU game is always a good one, especially when you put 103 points on the board against your Division I opponent. So we're feeling pretty good here in Richmond at the Siegel Center at 1200 West Broad Street.
Yeah, I'll tell you, the thing that impressed me most was the 32 fast break points for VCU. And, you know, there was all this talk about the up-tempo and the points that they scored at Bryant, but seeing that, I mean, I turned to Zach Joachim at, like, the under 8-minute timeout in the first half, and I said, I'm out of breath. I mean, this game is exciting. It's so up and down.
Yeah, they want to run. When they force turnovers, they absolutely want to get out and run. This is not a walk it up and set up the half court. They want to keep teams on their heels, and that's something that VCU fans are used to, right? I mean, I think by and large, we saw it early on. I mean, even going back to Anthony Grant, 94 feet both ways. And then Shaka took it to another level with Havoc. And Will Wade kind of took it down a little bit. He was a little bit more half-court centric. And Coach Rhodes would always play to the ability of his team. And I think Odom was in the middle of there too. But I think Martelli has come on the scene. And judging from what we saw last night and what we were able to get from Wagner, we're going to be fast-paced. And I think this will be a team that scores a lot of points. And when they can play good defense, is going to be very difficult to keep up with.
Yeah, I mean, it just reminded me of like an AAU team that gives you nightmares because they can just score 200 points. And I mean, I was so obsessed with the play in which Wagner scores and then they inbound it to Terrence Hill, who passes it forward to Djokovic, and he slammed it. They two passes, yeah. A dunk, no dribbles. I mean, it's just, man, is it impressive.
Yeah, I think last night they were able to really make happen what they've been working on in the gym. And I think there's a handful of reasons for that, Adam. I think first of all, is that they've been working at it. I mean, you perfect things, and that's what you wonder what you do for 20 hours in practice. Well, you do things like that. I think the second part of it, too, is they were able to get whatever they wanted from Wagner. I mean, Wagner's in a program in disarray. I mean, they're a hot mess. They lost their coach. They didn't post their roster till 2 weeks ago. I think they had 10 new guys. Most of those were Division III, Division II, or junior college guys. So I think they're definitely a work in progress. They're not going to be confused for a team that is going to be a defensive stalwart. And you saw that. So I think it was good for VCU to be able to play a team like that so they can see when it's really working, how well it can function, how well they can execute it. But I'd caution Ram fans, like, we have much tougher opponents coming that are not going to give us the easy defense that we saw at times last night from the Seahawks.
Yeah, I mean, including game number two, it's sure, a difficult schedule. I got to tell you, though, I was very pleased to see the three-point ball fall, 14 of 34, and much better in the second half, almost 50%, 8 of 17.
Yeah, and Adam, that's with Terrell Ward not being in the lineup because of an ankle, and he's arguably our best three-point shooter, at least our most dangerous. And if you've got the stat sheet in front of you, I don't have it in front of me, but we had, what, six guys hit threes last night, maybe seven? That's pretty good when you can trot out there seven guys that are going to be somewhat dangerous. And if you're Utah State and you're watching the film, you've got to say, all right, whoa, we got to pay attention to this guy, and we've got to pay, oh, Djokovic can shoot threes. When did we see that? And so it makes things more difficult to diagram against when you have multiple players that can be in there and hit three-pointers.
Yeah, seven different guys, including Terrence Hill, 4 for 8. I mean, I felt so good to see Terrence Hill get going.
Oh, he's such a good dude, too. Like, we get to know these guys. That's a great thing about returning players is all of a sudden you start to build rapport. And I've interviewed Terrence twice now on our podcast, our VCU Basketball Live podcast. We've interviewed him a couple times after games. We were able to did a cool NIL deal with him a couple weeks ago. So I've been able to interact with him. He's such a good dude. And to see him come out, and Rodney and I talked about this on the post-game show, there are multiple reasons why Terrence could have easily and justifiably transferred last year. He's from Portland, Oregon. Adam, you've got to fly over a lot of colleges and universities to get from Portland, Oregon to Richmond, Virginia. There's a lot of places that are a little bit closer for mom to come see you on a weekend than Richmond, Virginia. Number two, we lost a coach. That's just in itself is we've seen a reason for kids to bolt and either go and follow the coach or find another place to play. Or number three, he didn't get a ton of playing time last year. Now, he was buried behind an unbelievably talented group of guards, including the one that's still here now in Brandon Jennings. But when you look at Phil Russell and Joe Bamisil and Zeb Jackson and Max Shulga, I mean, he was pretty far on the depth chart, but he stayed here. And so to see him come out and put up a season high or career high 18 points and have that kind of success was just, it just made my heart happy, man. I was just super happy for him, and I think we're going to see more of that. I mean, he'll have games where he has those. I don't think that's going to be his career high by the end of the year. He is that good of a bucket maker.
Robbie Robinson with us here on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. You can hear Robbie and Rodney Ashby on the call for every VCU men's basketball game once again this season here on Richmond's home for the Rams 9-10 The Fan. And I just want to take a moment to talk about how important the fan base is and those that come to the Siegel Center. It was rocking. It was announced as a sold-out crowd. And in the post-game press conference, it was Nick Lewis, it was Brandon Jennings, who experienced the crowd last year, and Lazar Djokovic. And the two new guys talked about how this experience was incredible for them. And then Coach Martelli talked about how he doesn't usually hear things, but he could hear how loud the VCU chants were from the crowd when they got going.
I imagine it was a pretty cool event for Coach Martelli, and we talked about this a little bit in the post game show, to be there and to know that that is your crowd. Like, they've played in front of big crowds before at Bryant, he was at Delaware and Niagara. They've been the road team. It's not like this is probably the biggest building they've ever played in, probably not even close. But to have that be your fan base, they're cheering for you, they want you to do well, I bet that was pretty neat for them. And I can't say enough about our fans, Adam. I mean, our fans are spectacular, and you know, for a Monday night game against an opponent that didn't even have a roster 2 weeks ago, I think they showed up, and I mean, they have a lot of pent-up cheering. That's the thing about our fans in the early season games. Like, they have to sit there and watch football for the better part of 8 weeks and see all these other colleges cheer on their teams and their alma maters and who they pull for. And so when it's time to put the ball in the air, our fan base is ready to roll, and we get going from jump. And I think, too, that we play a big part. The love that they show our players, whether it's Brandon Jennings or Terrence Hill or Michael Bell, I think that goes a long way in cementing these guys here. And you know, Christian Furman's going to graduate from VCU. He's going to play here all 4 years. That is very rare, especially when you have two coaching changes. Are you kidding me? But Christian did that and is going to do that. And I think a big part of that is because of the support system that is at VCU, and a lot of that's our fan base.
Robbie, what is the travel plan to head to Frisco, Texas for this neutral site matchup with Utah State?
Tomorrow's Wednesday. We leave Thursday at noon, and Frisco is right outside of Dallas, for those that don't know. It's the Texas Legends Classic. You're wondering, who are the Texas Legends? Is it Nolan Ryan and Tony Dorsett and Dirk Nowitzki, or even more, Mark McGuire? No, it is the G League team for, I guess, the Mavericks. They have an arena outside of Dallas in a suburb called Frisco. I have no idea how big the arena is. I think it's Comerica Arena. And so So, yes, so the Texas Legends don't have anything going on Friday night, and threw it out there to see if a couple teams wanted to come play and maybe get a broadcast on some unknown streaming service. And lo and behold, Adam, that is exactly what's happened. We're going to play on Friday night against Utah State. I have no idea how many people are going to be there. I don't know how they sell tickets to these things. I think VCU basketball is incredibly compelling, as is Utah State. But Lord knows, I can't imagine anybody in Frisco is super excited. Like, let's be honest, if UT Arlington and SMU were playing in Richmond on Friday night, I don't know how many people would go if they're playing each other. But we're going to go, and it's going to be on some network called the Urban Events Network, I think is what they call it, or the Urban Edge Network. Adam, I downloaded the app today just for our fans. I did it so you don't have to. I downloaded the app today. It looks very much like ESPN Plus. So I think if you download this free Urban Edge app, it looks like it's just going to be a matter of just clicking our game on Friday night. Of course, we want people to listen to Rodney and I. That's the better broadcast. That's the theater of the mind. And for those creative people out there that like to listen and know more, that's what we do. But you'll be able to watch, I think, on this Urban Edge deal.
Yeah, you just got to pause it and sync it up with the radio. So then it feels like you're doing the TV broadcast.
Yeah. Absolutely. It's not hard. You can do it. Smart people in your listening audience, they can do that. And then that's what we recommend them doing. So, yeah, so we leave on Thursday. We will get there trying to go to the Cosm Sports Bar. You know what that is? That's the thing, like the big dome, like you're in the game. I think they showed cutaways of it in L.A. during the World Series where it's like this enormous kind of IMAX-type screen. And they have a camera angle that is just dedicated so you're truly like sitting there in the end zone or courtside. Trying to do that Thursday night, and then we'll play Friday, and we'll come back Friday night.
Well, enjoy your trip, and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Hey, Wad, always good being on with you, brother. Good to see you last night, and thanks for having me on today.
Absolutely. That is Robbie Robinson, play-by-play voice of the Rams. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD.
Get ready to shop Lowe's Black Friday doorbuster deals to save $150 on a 30-inch Blackstone griddle, now $299. Plus, choose a Whirlpool top load washer or Midea top freezer refrigerator for just $398. These limited-time doorbuster deals go fast, so get holiday ready today at Lowe's. We help you save. Valid 11/28 through 12/1. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Radio on the Fan. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. And we go to the home of the Virginia Cavaliers, all things UVA football right now. Preston Willett is with us on the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline. What's going on, Preston?
What's up, Adam? All things football, a little bit of basketball. It's that time of year.
Yeah, were you at the basketball game?
Yeah, there for opening night of the Ryan Odom era.
So I was interested in the minutes that were given out. Like, I was kind of surprised to see so many for Chance Mallory, but I feel like the story of the game has to be Testa Ritter coming in as a 22-year-old freshman and leading the Hoos in scoring.
Yeah, I think good. Yeah, I like you that you used the freshman there. Not quite a freshman, but the impressive part about him is, like, Odom talked all offseason, like, this guy is like a bully ball kind of guy, but he's got some really fancy footwork, you know, some of that Euro training. He said he grew up as a center, so, like, him and his brother would be, like, in the post all the time, like, working out and stuff. So he's got some good footwork. Yeah, 21 points, 10 rebounds, really nice debut for him.
Yeah, absolutely, and I thought it was pretty cool that you tweeted out that Tony Elliott, the football coach, and Ryan Odom, the basketball coach, have a good relationship. They text each other after every UVA game. I'm excited for the Odom era. How did the crowd deal with the full-court pressure and the up-and-down pace of the Odom offense?
Well, I think it took a little bit of adjusting, but by the end of it, you know, they got a shot clock violation at one point, so the crowd immediately went into, like, you know, auto mode, and, like, they knew exactly what to do for that. So, like, that was probably one of the biggest cheers of the night, maybe after Chance Mallory, the hometown kid, hitting back-to-back threes in his debut.
All right, so let's get to UVA football hosting Wake Forest, and I said, this game has got to be sold out. The crowd has got to be super loud. All the students on campus have to be in attendance because UVA is on the cusp of doing something incredible. I say they win out. Three more games, they're a CFP team because I'm not blaming anyone for losing a championship game that others don't play in.
Yeah, no, for sure. I would 100% agree with you on the championship game. Like, it never makes sense to hold that against someone. And I think maybe the college football playoff committee is kind of learning that lesson along the way, so hopefully that's not a factor towards the end of the season. But yeah, I mean, that, like, that's what it comes down to, is winning out. You've got three games left this season, home against Wake Forest and a really big, you know, Saturday night game, 7 o'clock on ESPN. Then you've got at Duke, which is going to be another, you know, big network game on either ESPN or ESPN2, and then you're home against Virginia Tech at the end of the season. So, like, three really big games that, you know, all eyes are going to be on Virginia now. Like, you're not surprising anyone anymore. Like, you are the top dog in the ACC. You're the top-ranked team in the ACC. You're the only undefeated team left in the ACC. So you're going to get everyone's best shot down the stretch here.
Chandler Morris, how do you think he's doing health-wise? I thought that was one of his better games. Like, maybe he has turned the corner on the injury he's been dealing with for a while now, with better completion percentage than we'd seen in a few weeks, and he ran the ball successfully as well.
Yeah, I think he had 6 carries for like 38 yards, including one in the end of the first half where it was like a design quarterback draw, and he got like a big 18-yard carry, put him in field goal position. Of course, you know, they missed the field goal, so they didn't get it. But I thought I was really encouraged by his play. And I had asked him actually earlier today, like, you seem like you slowed down a little bit. Like, you know, in the UNC game, which he told me was the worst game he's played as a quarterback, he felt like, you know, he was kind of sped up. You know, the pressure was getting to him. He was, you know, trying to make big plays, not taking what's in front of him. And against Cal, like, the most impressive part to me was he was finding the checkdowns. He was finding, like, the guys just to pick up some yards and kind of keep the drive moving. And that's what Virginia needed, just put some long, sustained drives together. And I think that's one of the big reasons why the offense just looked so much more productive, is because they were just on the field more.
Wake Forest is a good team. They're 5-3 on the season, 2-3 though in the ACC, and they're going to want to run the football. I think this is going to be a big test for UVA's rush defense.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Demond Claiborne has been one of the best running backs in the ACC for past couple of years now, you know, out of King William, not too far from the Richmond area, of course. He's a load, and Virginia had trouble with him last year when they played Wake Forest early in the season, and Claiborne was kind of just having his way against this Virginia defense, and then, you know, Wake just stopped handing him the ball towards the end of the game, and that's what allowed Virginia to kind of make their comeback and win that game last year in Winston-Salem. So, you know, he's going to be a big focal point for this Wake Forest team when he's healthy out there. But Virginia, as far as run defense, like, they've been vastly improved this year. They only allowed 8 rushing yards to Cal last week on the road.
in the entire game. So the run defense has been much improved. And, you know, I was kind of talking to some people, you know, why would that be? Why have they made such a big adjustment? One of the things I kind of threw out there is, like, you know, they switch so many, rotate so many guys on the defensive line right now. They've got, like, they can keep the run defenders out there on first and second down and then take them off on third down so they can get a breather and then put them back out there. So they have their best run defense out there on the field in those downs. So they're a little bit more, you know, capable of kind of slowing the other team's rushing attack down.
Preston, I got to ask you the difficult question here is, which is, look, this is an incredible season, and I'm locked in on UVA football. I mean, I am having so much fun watching these games. But how much of this success is sustainable? Correct me if I'm wrong. They're going to have to find a new quarterback next year.
Yeah, I mean, that's a big question kind of hanging over all of this because, I mean, you've got you know, Daniel Kalen kind of waiting in the wings. He's a younger quarterback that, you know, I think they really like his progress and kind of how he's been preparing this year. And, you know, if Chandler Morris ever got really seriously hurt and couldn't play, they're more than happy to go to him. But at the same time, it's like, all right, well, do they want to go get another veteran quarterback next year to compete with him? It seems like the most likely approach that they'll take. But yeah, throughout this whole season, it's been the looming question is like, all right, this is great, but like, how do you keep this going? How do you sustain this? Well, they got another couple million dollars a few weeks ago and another anonymous donation. And one of the big things that the general manager, Tyler Jones, has been talking about is like his job and then also the assistant general manager, Justin Sparrows, their job is that how do you sustain it? How do you keep this vision long term? So like they're allowed to think long term. Tony Elliott is always, you know, 1 week ahead, you know, looking at the next opponent always. But the bigger picture stuff that's going on in that general manager front office kind of thing setup that Virginia has now. And so they're looking at it. How do you sustain this? And I know long term they want a lot more of it to be about the recruits that they get out of high school and developing those guys. I mean, you look at this team this year and as many transfers as they brought in, there's just as many, you know, guys that they brought in and have developed. Mikhail Boley at left tackle, Cam Robinson, of course, like he's probably the shining example of that. So that's what they want to be core, but, you know, they're obviously going to be players in the transfer portal like they showed this past year.
Yeah, I think a big way to sustain this success is the transfer portal and using the money that you're getting with these donations to the program. I'll be honest, I think the quarterback for next season's not on the roster. I think there's going to be an exciting young talent that sees the success that Chandler Morris has had under Tony Elliott and wants to be part of it. So I think for, like, biggest skill position players, they should go to the transfer portal, go to guys that are not getting playing time in the SEC or the Big Ten and use that money. And we'll see. I mean, everything's changing, feels like, every day in college sports right now. But I do think the education you're going to get at Virginia should be able to help them out, plus the money.
Yeah, the money is a huge part of this. I mean, I can't remember the exact figure, but they've more than doubled the amount of money they got in, like, the last decade at Virginia in terms of donations. So, like, there is a huge investment in football right now that we just had not seen before at Virginia in, you know, maybe ever, just the last couple months, honestly. And so, like, they have the money, the ammo to go into the transfer portal. And that's, like, one of the things you're seeing right now is some of these, you know, long-held doormats in college football, programs like Vanderbilt, Indiana, and Virginia are kind of fighting back now. And they're like, hey, this is an equal playing field to a certain extent. Like, we can go out there. But you do have to keep in mind, like, at the same time, the transfer portal give us and the take us, you know, not every year are you going to be able to put together a great transfer portal class. Sometimes they just don't work out.
Preston, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
At Lowe's, before the holidays is the perfect time for upgrades and upkeep. During Black Friday, get up to 50% off select major appliances and buy more to save more with up to an additional 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Plus, grab select DeWalt 20-volt max drill or impact driver kits for just $99. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 12/3. Selection varies by location. While supplies last, see Lowe's.com for more details.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Absolutely, I'm anytime.
Yep, that's our buddy Preston Willett. Follow him on Twitter at Preston Willett. Check out the work that he does covering UVA. Does a great job as a writer for the Sabre and host of Who's On the Podcast. You're listening to AWOD on the Fan. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio. Here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. It's NFL trade deadline day. We'll bring you the latest news as it gets reported by Ian Rappaport, Adam Schefter, and others. Still nothing Commanders-related yet. I could see them trading Daron Payne or one of their offensive linemen. Heading out to the Hadid Mercer Rug Cleaning Hotline to run around local sports in Richmond, Virginia, it's Lane Casadante. What's up, Lane?
Hey, good afternoon, Adam. How's everything?
Doing pretty good. It was good to see you last night at the Stuart Siegel Center for a sold-out crowd and a Rams win over Wagner. What were your biggest takeaways?
I liked the way that VCU kind of found their rhythm throughout the game. The first half was a little choppy, both offensively and defensively, which is to be expected when it's your first game with, you know, 9-10 new faces on the roster and a new head coach and a new staff, with the exception of, you know, guys like Brad Burgess and Brandon Rozell. So it was nice to see them find a rhythm, especially in the second half, and take care of business in a manner that a lot of people expected.
Yeah, and you got to love the play they got from Lazar Djokovic down low and from the outside hitting 2 of 3. It's just, you know, he's a different type of big that it feels like VCU has not had in a long time. A guy that can really battle down low with the other centers, but also step around the outside, and the athleticism in transition, had a couple dunks as well.
At the A-10 level, the kind of traditional big man in the middle is not – you don't really see it anymore. I want to say the last true big man that VCU had was probably somebody like L.F. Likalidov, going back that far, or please forgive me, the young man that went to play in Milwaukee. Why can I not remember his name?
Larry Sanders?
Larry Sanders, yeah. So you have to go back a while until you find somebody not and to a certain extent Mo Alie-Cox, although I always considered him more of a four than maybe a traditional center. So that type of player we don't see very much. So Djokovic is the kind of guy, you know, the European style of big man that can, you know, do damage both inside and outside. And that seems to fit the style of play and the style of roster that Phil Martelli Jr. would like to put out on the floor, because as we saw last night, they are going to, you know, they're going to try to play up tempo. They're going to try to get as many possessions as they can. I really hope that these games ending at 9:20 are just, you know, not going to be the norm moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long game, and I mean, that's just what happens when you score 103 points. You have all those free throw attempts as well. I got to talk about the three-point shot. That stood out to me. It felt like the Rams were almost 50% in the second half at 47%, and seven different guys made a three. That's impressive.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask, and again, you know, a lot of the questions that you would ask about a first game aren't really appropriate is the word I'm going to come up with, only because it's only one game. And they're still trying to figure it out. I was told by a couple of the staffers that Martelli didn't even settle on his starting five until yesterday afternoon. And one of them actually joked, well, I haven't seen him in the last 20 minutes. It could have changed since the last time I was in the locker room. So he has a challenge where he has so many capable athletes, and now he's got to divide up minutes. And we knew this was going to be, I don't even want to say it's an issue. I would say more of it's a challenge, and it's a good problem to have. So it was interesting to kind of see some of the combinations he had on the floor last night, to see which players got more playing time, which players kind of came in after the result had already been decided. I don't know if that's going to be the norm moving forward. Probably not. It's going to depend on the opponent as well. So it's just going to be, you know, everyone's going to have to get used to this team as they get used to each other.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good problem to have. And last night they got, I think, six different guys in double figures, and that was without Tyrell Ward, who I do think will probably average close to 10 points at least this season. Lane, let's get to college football. And although there's a lot of rumors going around about James Franklin to Virginia Tech, we got to talk about Virginia. And the Virginia Cavaliers are now top of the ACC after Georgia Tech blew a game over the weekend. And they host Wake. That game needs to be sold out. It needs to be the most rocking crowd they've had in 15 years, because they are on the cusp of something epic here. Three wins away, and I think they're in the CFP. I think they can lose in Charlotte in the ACC championship. Three more wins is all it's going to take.
Yeah, I think a lot of that has to depend on what happens in the other conferences as well, obviously. But, you know, it's all laid out in front of them. They do not have, you know, there are certain teams in the ACC that they're going to avoid. I don't, you know, they don't play Miami this year. They didn't play Florida State. And I don't, I'm trying to remember, there's another one that they don't get. So, and while I don't want to say, you know, it's a favorable schedule going down the stretch, because I think going to Duke might be a challenge, but you have to believe that in their final games they will be favored, especially at home. I know Wake Forest is having a good season, but UVA is home, and they have the better record, and they have found a way to win games that they have found a way to lose in the last couple of years.
Yeah.
So we kind of saw this with the Commanders last year, where they found a way to win games that they normally didn't. And that's what it takes. Not only does it take being healthy, but it takes knowing that you can play that last 10, 7, 5 minutes when you need it the most. And even into overtime, you can play it the way you need to come out with a win.
Lane, let's get to the Washington Commanders in the National Football League. And I told my audience, I understand the mistake, because when it was 38-7, selfishly, I was hoping to see Jaden Daniels out there to give me a reason to watch. But I love the honesty from Dan Quinn. I'm not sure we would have gotten that from the previous two or three coaches. He admitted it. He messed up, and now hopefully we can move on. I don't think he should be fired for that mistake at all.
No, neither do I. And hindsight is undefeated. And you can always say, oh, we should have been out of the game. And, you know, I wondered. The only reason that you would think you would consider pulling Jaden is because he's been injury prone, right? And he was just coming off an injury. Now, the new injury that he has is something completely different, and it was a freak injury. You cannot expect that to happen. If he had gone out there and, you know, pulled his hamstring again, okay, now that's maybe a little bit different. That's a little bit different argument. But you are still trying to you know, we've seen stranger things happen. If he puts Jaden out there with 12 and a half minutes to go on that final drive, which is when he went back out, yeah, you're down three or four scores, but suppose you get one. And suppose the defense comes up with a turnover. Had they shown the propensity to do that in that game? No, they had not. But we have seen weird things happen in NFL games, and these guys are all professionals. Plus, you know, I keep going back and forth on this. You pull Jaden Daniels off the field, how, you know, is Jaden Daniels going to take that as an insult? I mean, right. He wants to be out there. He wants to play. You run the risk of damaging the relationship you have with the player, even if it's in his best interest, because, and you're also telling the fans, we've given up on this game, we'll come back next week.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great point there, because it was 38-7. If you pull Jaden Daniels, what's the sports radio talk going to be all week long when you lose 38-7 and your quarterback's so bad that he gets benched? It's going to be talk about Jaden Daniels is not the guy.
Or Dan Quinn gave up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then he runs the risk of what's the locker room going to think of him. There's much more to it. You know, we can all sit back the next day and say, oh, he should have been pulled out. He got injured. Now he's probably done for the year. What a stupid move. There's so much more into it. And I give Dan Quinn credit for accepting all of the blame for the decision. It ultimately does rest on his head, but no, that was a freak accident. And let's say, okay, if we're going to play all in hypotheticals, because that's all this conversation around this topic is, let's say Jaden Daniels scores on the second play instead of, you know, being, you know, driving down 5 minutes later. Now you've got 10 minutes left. Now it's, you know, you're within 20 points. Who knows? You've got a little bit of momentum. We've seen these games turn on less.
Yeah, and also, if Jaden Daniels just does the play and hands it off to Chris Rodriguez, they score and he doesn't get hurt, you know?
Yeah, right. If you had done what we told you to do, this wouldn't have been a bite. And, you know, and also, Quinn admitted, and we all know this, that's the way Jaden plays. And the way he plays is going to open himself up to a certain level of not just injury, but also scrutiny. When it works, it's fantastic. When it doesn't work, it, you know, there's kind of the extremes on one side or the other.
Lane, really appreciate the time, man. Thanks so much.
Adam, thanks for having me. Have a great week, everybody.
You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM. Welcome back. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new sports radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM, Richmond's home for the most football talk in town. I know it's college basketball season, but we still got the 804 broadcast game of the week on Friday nights. Friday Night Lights can be heard here on 910 The Fan. It will be Hokie Steve and Gary Criswell on the call. Saturdays are for the Hokies and the Hoos, and UVA's at home hosting Wake Forest, one of the biggest games of their season. And all things NFL all the time with the Westwood One primetime play-by-play and your home for the Washington Commanders. And it's time for the Commanders Corner. And this is about as doom and gloom as a Commander season has gone in, check's calendar, 2 years. 2 years. Like, I just want to take this segment to speak to the fans, but specifically the new fans. And I'll be honest with you, I am so happy that we have new fans. I'm so happy that there are people that are in their 20s or early 30s like myself that actually care about this team, because they haven't given you a reason to care for the last 27 years until last year. And with last year's success, everybody jumped on the bandwagon, and rightfully so. If you're within 100 miles, you want to root for the team that's winning, right? We all want to be part of a winning organization. A winning team. And last year they won. And they won into January, late January, and they made it to the conference championship game. But I'm speaking to the new fans for a second here. I'm sorry that you thought last year was the norm. This is the norm. This is it. This is what we're used to. Us Redskins fans, Deadskins fans, we're used to this. Because I'll tell you, I have never experienced back-to-back successful seasons. I have never experienced that. Should have seen this coming. I'm sorry you as a new Commanders fan feel blindsided, but this team has not made the playoffs in back-to-back years since 1992. This year was kind of doomed from the start, and it's just kind of eating me up seeing all these fair weather fans already turning on the coaching staff. Like, Jeremy, tell me you've seen it online. How many people are like, Dan Quinn can't coach? Where were you last January when he went to Detroit and beat the Lions?
Right. It's not been great football here for my entire life.
Yeah.
Your entire life. Like, last year was special.
And you're a fair weather fan if you're turning on the coaching staff or the general manager, or there are even some people turning on ownership. Like, are you freaking kidding me? Have you ever heard of the name Daniel Snyder, the devil himself, and you're turning on Josh Harris already because of one bad season halfway through it? Like, this is bad, all right? Don't get me wrong, this is bad. But we've seen much worse. Jaden Daniels is still exciting, and he's better than anyone we've had in 30 years. Trust me. I've seen a lot worse. I even pulled up the worst seasons in Commanders history. Oh, yeah, you guys remember 2019? The end of Jay Gruden's era? 3-13. How about 2013? The end of Shanahan's era? 3-13. 3-13. Oh, what about 2023? The end of Ron Rivera? 4-13. I mean, get used to this. What about 2014? The year after they were transitioning from RG3 to Kirk, 4-12. Let me take you back to 2009, prior to Mike Shanahan, 4-12. Let me take you to 2011, 5-11. Let me take you back to 2006. They had actually made the playoffs the year before, 5-11. Let me take you back to 2003. I thought we were building something, 5-11. Like, you should be used to this. I'm sorry to all the new fans that feel blindsided by this and are acting like fair weather fans calling for the coach. No. No. Trust me. I've seen a lot worse. I've seen a lot worse. I'm not overreacting. Dan Quinn is still the guy for the job in my mind. And they will make a change. Dan Quinn said they're going to move Joe Witt Jr. to the sidelines. I've been asking for that for multiple weeks now. I think it will make a difference. I think you will have more accountability from the players because they're going to have to go speak with the defensive coordinator, not talk to him on the phone on the sidelines. I'm hoping that this is a change that will have the defense at least more organized and less broken plays and less miscommunications and miscues. The defense needs to get better. It's absolutely true. But I just wanted to take a segment to say I'm sorry to the new fans that thought that this team was going to be a Super Bowl contender. I thought that they were going to be a Super Bowl contender. Turns out, they're still building this roster up. And this season has been derailed by injuries. And it's just like looking back, we are going to talk about this season with an asterisk because of the injuries. And it started like week two. Like week two when we lost Austin Eckler for the season. I mean, this season started 21-6 and went over the Giants. We thought we were still world beaters. And the success has evaporated. But I don't think that you can just move on from a coach that gave us the best season we've had in 30 years. Or a general manager that's orchestrated the best season in 30 years. Now, I think Joe Witt Jr. is certainly on the hot seat because Dan Quinn's a defensive-minded coach, and if the defense continues to struggle, everybody will be pointing fingers at him. And right now, he's got a barrier between him and the hot seat, which is Joe Witt. But this defense will need to be bad the end of this year and next year for me to consider moving on from Dan Quinn. For me to consider moving on from Dan Quinn, they would need to finish this season as a bad defense and all of next season as a bad defense. He has earned the right to coach this team for 3 years, given the success that he had in year one. It's eating me up that we're losing by this much and our defense is this bad, but I think a lot of that is the roster is not talented enough. And this is an opportunity here in the final 7 weeks of the season or so to play Jordan McGee, to play Tyler Owens, to play some of your younger edge rushers, to play Trey Amos more because Marshawn Lattimore is out. To put Mikey Sainristil back outside and see if you can get the production you got from him last season. I would consider swapping Quan Martin at times to give other guys an opportunity. I love what Jeremy Reeves is bringing. It feels like Jeremy Reeves is the only guy on this team that cares. The only guy on this team that wants to make stops on the defensive end. So Dan Quinn talked about the changes they're going to make here. Let's take a listen to Dan Quinn here at the podium. He is talking about the change that they will make at the defensive coordinator position, moving Joe Witt to the sidelines.
Hey, Dan, I know you said no changes coming on the defensive staff, but what about moving guys around, maybe bringing Joe Witt down to the field? Any of that under consideration?
Yeah, you might have some insider scoop going on there, JP. We are going to do that. And so Joe will move down from the press box onto the field this week. And we're going to dig in hard on changes we can make, you know, to make an impact and make a difference. And that's one that that we will do.
He's at least trying something. We've seen coaches here in the past that didn't want to try anything, right? They kept saying, no, we trust our guys. Or like Ron Rivera said, no, we're not going to blitz more because we have all these first-round picks on the defensive line. Like, I have to admit that I didn't think Dan Quinn would make this move here. I thought he would be too loyal to Joe Witt Jr. I have to admit, I love the honesty from Dan Quinn, who said he missed it. He missed it. In terms of taking Jaden Daniels out, because even though you called no quarterback run plays, he's going to scramble. He's going to try to make a play because that's just who he is. He's a gamer. He's a playmaker. And you can't fault him for that. He's trying to lead his team on an impressive comeback. But he should not have been in the game because that comeback was next to impossible. I'm Adam Epstein. You're listening to AWOD Radio here on the new Sports Radio 910 The Fan, now at 105.1 FM.
Holiday doorbuster deals are on at Lowe's. Today only, get select one-quart poinsettias and select translucent plant saucers for $1 each. That means for a limited time, you can decorate to get in the Christmas spirit for less. Shop in-store to make sure you don't miss out on big savings all day. But hurry, these offers won't last long. Lowe's. We help, you save. Valid 11/28, in-store only. Limit 16 per person. Selection varies by location while supplies last.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.